Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
How are you, Allison?
I'm good. I'm blonde again.
You're blonde again, and I'm platinum blonde.
I'm blonde again, so yes. It feels like it's good.
Yes! I think natural blondes, like, I don't know. I prefer being blonde, personally.
Me too. My friend. She is my friend. She's also my hairstylist.
Well, there you go, yeah.
Why this will make sense.
Absolutely.
She said, oh, I can't believe you were like, can you believe you're like brunette? I mean, it was good for a minute.
Yeah.
It got me a job. I don't think anyone would have hired me to be in charge of a wood shop if I was blonde.
That's so true. You know, the blonde buzz, it's like the least serious thing in the world.
But for us,
it's like inconsequential, but that's like, which is, you know, I mean, privileged of us.
The privilege of us. But the privilege of being blonde is that guys think I'm hot.
Yeah, there you go. But on the other side of that,
because people
we're not qualified.
Because people think you're so hot, they think you can't be smart.
Yeah.
And that,
which is really just a misogynistic thing.
And it all comes back to
just straight up misogyny that women can't be pretty and smart at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was a noise of a toilet thing because our guest toilet does not flush. It flushes, but then it, like, doesn't close on its own. So you have to, like, put that back in there.
I was like, the ambient sounds of bathroom stuff.
Ooh, ooh. Yeah, sorry we haven't been here. If you're still listening, wow.
What can you do? what can you do?
I was talking to Gil at the party. This was 2 months ago.
The last party we attended
2 months ago. And he was like, you made me wait.
And you were like, yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Good things come.
as if we do any research.
Patience is a virtue.
Well, you do IMDb reviews. Which is more than I do.
I don't even remember to do that today.
Well, there you go.
Do that right now.
See, actually, that was part of my plan. Was it partly to see if you did it?
Well, plan because it worked.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm going to psychology. That's what I'm going to psychology
you
for.
You may not understand
these
this.
Men because I'm a psychology major.
But what you're asking me to do is literally sociopath.
Chad Redwill. Such a just amazing character.
Decade Boone, my best friend. I rewatched that first season of Scream Queens.
For Halloween. It's a classic Halloween watch.
And it's just so quality.
Oh, it's so fun.
Such a good show. I was watching it and I was like, wow, who did it?
I know
who did it.
Yeah.
But I'm still like, how did we get here?
It's amazing.
How did I figure it out?
It's so funny and it's so good. Emma Roberts is perfect in that. Oh my God. Everyone is perfect in it.
Yeah.
Kiki Palmer. Oh, my God. My favorite, though, is, what's her fucking name? The cop. The lady cop.
Oh.
Henfield. Denise Henfield. Oh, my God. She's my favorite. I'm obsessed with her.
Yes.
I think Cole was saying that he thinks that she's like an MK Ultra experiment.
Denise Hemfield is on the case.
She's so good. Oh, I forgot to crack my.
Oh yeah, Coke. Here we go.
Now, Allison, do your noise.
I already cracked my Coke.
Oh, that's good.
See, it's as close as I think my human mouth can.
Yeah, absolutely.
I shouldn't say the human mouth because the human mouth can do crazy things.
Yeah, I can't do crazy things. You guys never saw the light of day of this because we lost it on a different computer, but we did a Warren's episode, which I still have the notes for, so we should probably do that again.
RIP, it's gone.
I know, yeah. It's gone. So that's sad.
That is sad. That was a good episode.
It was a good episode. Anyway, in that we talk about the double vocal cord thing.
Yes, vocal cord.
Yeah, because we talk about that and like how that
couldn't work to make weird demon sounds.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And I stand by the Enfield case. It's probably like a kid doing it, right?
Yeah.
Or a family doing it. It's still impressive. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Anyone,
it's impressive.
Anyone that can fake a convincing
haunting with multiple witnesses.
Or an incredibly real exorcism or any of it. It's impressive. The Warrens, to me, are... And I know we talked about this a little bit in the episode that has not seen the light of day, never will.
Yeah.
Which is that...
Maybe we'll do a Conjuring episode next Halloween and
yeah.
I can dabble it in.
I think that the Warrens are incredible fiction writers.
Oh, amazing. They're like Stephen King level.
If only they were using their powers for good instead of evil. They could just like, there is a place for people who are excellent liars.
Oh, and
that's in Hollywood,
baby.
Which is, I guess, where they are for the most part nowadays.
That's true. Nowadays, they wrote, remember, oh my gosh, that You're Wrong About episode was insane. How, like, I almost said Patrick Wilson, but Patrick Wilson is completely innocent.
Patrick Wilson's just an actor.
Just an actor. Anyway, Ed Warren was, like, had, like, a young girl.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
didn't know that.
Yeah. And then, like, in their agreement, in their contract, it specifically said that, like, you cannot portray the Warrens committing any crimes against children. And I'm like, so you knew.
So you knew.
Like, that means that,
so,
like,
you were aware.
Yeah.
And their own children are, like, not even a part of the story.
Yeah.
They're like, we're such an wholesome American family. Go away, kids.
Yes.
We've got mommy and daddy have to ghost hunt.
Ghost. Demon hunt.
Demon hunt. I'm sorry. Ghosts aren't real. Demons are real.
Yeah. You wouldn't understand. It's a Catholic thing.
I wouldn't.
Okay. So, obviously, we're doing Scream, the new Scream. I saw this opening night.
And I saw it not that long after.
Yeah.
A week after.
And
in the theater.
I think this will be a good episode because I think we will express a wide range of opinions.
Or maybe it'll be a terrible episode.
Oh, yeah, well,
don't get your expectations up too.
Well, yeah, sorry.
We gotta temper their expectations. That's why we release an episode once every, I don't know. I want to say full moon, but that happens too frequently.
Month and a half.
Full moon maybe happens too frequently.
It depends because sometimes we'll release multiple episodes like.
We make quarterly episodes.
Yeah. Well, You're Wrong About kind of does that, but they do more research.
But You're Wrong About is a really, really good podcast,
yeah.
And our podcast is made inside of a room with a laptop and a Yeti mic that's currently sitting inside of a mug because we don't have the stand for it.
Yeah.
So it's sitting inside of a mug with cats on it.
Yeah.
And but you know what you don't get on You're Wrong About? You don't get me making a little can opening noise.
That's so true. You know, we all bring different things to our content.
Table. And while Sarah and formerly Mike bring what is perhaps one of the most entertaining and informative podcasts of all time.
They're so good. I love them.
They don't get
that.
What I'm bringing.
These audio effects that I'm doing with my mouth.
Yeah, all sound effects here, practical. We don't use boards. We don't insert stuff. We do it live. Is that a horse?
Yeah, it is. You see, you do it well enough.
What if we got a Foley table? And we kept it here, and we would do, like they used to do on the radio.
I love those. Oh my gosh.
We get a slide whistle.
Oh, I would love a slide whistle. The last podcast guys are doing a Sirius XM radio show that's like call-in, and I hope they do those.
I think a slide whistle could be what our show is missing.
I think so, guys.
Write in. Shoot us an email. Slide whistle?
A slide whistle?
Yes. Question mark?
Maybe we'll post on our Instagram.
I think, I'm not even sure I care about what the people.
it's a rhetorical question. We're getting the slide whistle.
To be honest, I make this for me. And the minute I start giving a shit about what these people do, you can count me out.
There's this great, I'm sorry we're talking about other podcasts, but the Always Sunny podcast. There's this scene, which reminds me so much of you. It's Glenn and Rob is talking about how he's not performing at the moment. And Glenn's like, buddy, if that camera's on and that mic is hot, I'm performing. You better believe it. I love him so much. He's incredible. Oh, they seem like such nice guys. Anyway, so we're doing Scream 2022. Obviously, we did a Scream episode a long time ago. And yeah, really old. And we love it. It's one of our favorites.
Yes, we both love
the original Scream. We adore it. It's like a cinematic masterpiece.
It's truly one of the best horror films
of all time. It may be, it's tied for me with the best horror comedy with Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods is the best horror comedy.
Yes. And then Scream is really close right under
it. Oh, I mean, this like started it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Cabin in the Woods, I don't think could have happened without Scream because it's like metaverse, right?
Yes.
So it's like, you know, I don't think it could have happened without Scream. Scream really opened the door to like mainstream meta horror, which is really cool. But I think that I watched the second. Did you watch all of them? I watched all of them.
I did watch Leading all up. Of them. Okay. I watched all of them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite? Aside from the original Scream.
Okay.
2, 3, and 4. What were your favorite?
Scream, here's how I would rank them.
Okay.
Scream 1.
Yeah.
Original Scream.
Yes.
Top tier. Best movie.
Yeah.
I'm also not including this in the list.
Okay.
Then I'd probably honestly go Scream 2.
It's so fun.
It's very fun.
Randy's great. Sarah Michelle Gellar. Jada Pinkett Smith. Oh my gosh.
Then it probably goes Scream 4.
It's so fun too.
Then Scream 3.
Yeah.
Scream 4 was more fun on the rewatch.
It's true. It's true. Scream 3 just, I mean, Parker Posey.
I mean, okay. I really have nothing against Scream 3 other than, like, it's really batshit.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's, like, insane. It's not, and I was listening to a different podcast, and they were talking about how Scream is probably the most consistent as of quality of horror franchises because you get, like, with, you know, Freddy, you get really, really bad ones. Like, the lows are very low. But in Scream, the lows are really not that low.
Not comparatively.
Not comparatively to, like, Friday the 13th,
no.
Nightmare on Elm Street. It's just not the same.
Any of them.
Like, and also stylistically, they're very cohesive, I think. Especially, like, the first three.
Agreed. Yeah. I think the third one has, like, the craziest killer reveal.
Oh, it's insane. It's so unbelievable. It's like, dude, this is so annoying. But, like, it's so fun that you're, like, willing to look past it.
Yeah. Scream 3, I think, like, they all progressively get, like, more funny.
Yeah.
And then Scream 4 kind of, like,
brings it back.
And then this one is a reboot, obviously.
Yeah, a requel.
This is why they don't even call it Scream 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I keep getting confused and telling everyone I watched Scream 5, and they're like, what?
What?
Like, you can't Google that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you can't.
Oh, yeah, you can't. All right. And this is from Wikipedia, as always.
As always.
We're loyal. Another podcast I listen to, This Ends at Prom, which is great, and you guys should go listen to it. What was I going to say? I'm terrible right now. I'm losing all my thoughts.
Wikipedia, the something about prom.
Oh, they use Fandango.
Oh, Fandango. I like Wikipedia because I like the grab bag.
Yeah.
I like never knowing.
Never knowing because, like, what if, like, sometimes something will, like, be in here that isn't in the movie or something like that and, like, no one has corrected it yet?
I mean, do you remember the time that we got Rickrolled through a Wikipedia page?
Yeah. I was telling someone about that the other day.
A deep dive of a Wikipedia
page. Oh, yeah.
We got Rickrolled live.
Go listen to our Rango episode. Beans is not a lesbian.
By the way.
By the way.
As we so incorrectly stated for nearly half of the episode.
Okay. Scream, also known as Scream 5.
Yeah, it is Scream 5. Just call it Scream 5, you pretentious assholes.
It's a 2022 American slasher film directed by Radio Silence. That's Matt Bettinelli and Open and Tyler Gillette. They did Ready or Not.
Oh, I like Ready or Not.
It's fun. That has a fun ending. That's a good horror movie.
I see why they would choose them to direct this.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really good looking movie.
Hmm. And Ready or Not is a good horror comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
A great one, even.
It's really funny. It's one of my, probably, like, top 10.
Yeah, it's very good. It was criminally underrated.
Oh, criminally underrated. It's, like, the ending is so funny.
Yeah.
I love it. It is the fifth installment of the Scream series and written by James Vanderbilt and Guy Busick.
This is the first one without Wes Craven,
Wes Craven, because he's dead. Sorry.
Stupid idiot. Died.
Should have died then. Sorry, I love Wes Craven.
R.A.P. Wes Craven.
R.A.P. Wes Craven, we love you. Because he died in 2015. And this is a direct sequel to Scream 4. Because they do mention, like, that the last time it happened was in 2011, right, which is when Emma Roberts
killer was.
Yep.
I'm glad Emma Roberts got to be in the Scream franchise.
Me too. She's so good. I also, Hayden Panettiere in that is so fun. It's so good.
They deserve it.
She's like the Randy character in that.
Yeah.
Which is very compelling, I think. It's a similar to previous entries, Scream combines the violence of a slasher genre with elements of black comedy and whodunit mystery to satirize the trend of reboots and legacy sequels. The film also provides commentary on fandom culture and the divide between elevated horror and classic slasher films.
Of course, as all the Screams do.
Well, they always want to make, like, a comment on what's going on in the horror community at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, obviously, whenever you get into Scream 2, it's like, oh, you got to have a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you Scream 3, you get into, like, oh, it's a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scream 4, you know, oh, we're coming back.
Yeah,
and then
another,
and they're always, like, commenting on that nature of the movie because it's a meta movie.
This one is the requel. That's the whole gig.
Yeah, they're talking about it all the time.
They literally never shut up about it, actually. True. Maybe, I would say, to perhaps a detrimental
I see your point, but I will...
I was like, I get it. You've said it enough!
Okay. Although the fifth and sixth Scream installments were discussed after the release of Scream 4 in 2011, Craven, writer Kevin Williamson, and executive producer Harvey Weinstein had doubts about proceeding with more films following the less-than-expected box office performance of the fourth film. After the 2017 sexual assault allegations against Weinstein and the closure of the Weinstein Company, the rights to the Scream franchise were obtained by Spyglass Media Group in November 2019, who confirmed a new film would later be made. The following year, Williamson, who was returning as an executive producer, confirmed the film would not be a reboot and that Radio Silence had been hired in March 2020 to direct the film. And it was delayed because of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. It was filmed in North Carolina. It was the fifth highest grossing movie of 2022.
Wow. Well, movies be not doing as well as they used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know. Okay. Plot. 25 years after Billy Loomis and Stu Mocker's killing spree in Woodsboro, a high school student named Tara Carpenter, that's John Carpenter, the director of, like, The Thing.
Oh!
Yeah, so that's why her last name is Carpenter. And in, like, the first one, they call, like, a horror movie, like, a Wes Carpenter flick, like, combining Wes Craven and John Carpenter.
All right.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. It's Home Alone when she's a tech. I like, what's her name? The girl from You. She's good. What is her name? Jenna Ortega.
Who does she play?
She plays Tara, the Drew Barrymore girl.
Oh.
The girl who gets attacked in the first scene.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. I like her a lot. She's in You. She plays like the...
Is she the little girl?
Yeah.
She's good in that.
Yeah, she's a good actor. Okay. A high school student named Tara Carpenter is home alone. She's attacked by Ghostface and left hospitalized. I think that was fun how they subverted expectations by not killing her off in the first scene, which you kind of expect because she's the Drew Barrymore type.
You see, no comment.
Why? I plead the fifth.
I don't want to give away
your opinion.
My opinion too soon, like, okay. Or what I thought was happening in the movie for approximately one third of the movie. but they threw me here. I won't lie. This was my first. Oh, okay. She's not gonna die. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In Modesto, Tara's estranged sister Sam Carpenter is informed about the attack by Wes Hicks. Wes. His name is Wes.
All the names, they were just like, hey, famous horror names? Mm-hmm. Let's throw them in.
Let's throw them in. Also, I love, my favorite thing is that Wes Hicks is Judy Hicks's son.
Yes.
I love Judy Hicks. She has crazy eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Judy Hicks.
She's crazy. She's like Jodi Arias type.
I never was a fan of Judy Hicks.
No, me either.
Even in the fourth film.
But she's crazy, which is like why she's entertaining.
Crazy. She is a little crazy.
She's okay. Like, whoa. One of Tara's friends, Sam returns to Woodsboro with her boyfriend Richie to visit Tara at the hospital, where Sam is reunited with Tara's friend group, Wes, Amber Freeman, twins Chad and Mindy Meeks-Martin, who are my two of my favorite actors in the movie. And Chad's girlfriend, Liv McKenzie, who is the most forgettable person in this film.
That's the girl that's like... So Gen Z.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a girl that looks like she probably auditioned for Euphoria and didn't get in.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I like the twins. They're Randy's niece and nephew.
Yeah.
Which Heather Monterazzo came back, who played his sister.
Right.
My favorite is like in Scream 3 whenever she's like, I'm Randy's sister. Can't you tell?
Like,
no. I can't tell. It's very strange that she says that. That night, Liv's ex-boyfriend Vince Schneider, who is Stu Mocker's nephew, is killed by a ghost face outside a bar.
It's a lot of...
Relation.
I know.
Allison hates it. At the hospital, Sam is attacked by...
serious Star Wars franchise
That's
feeling.
That's hilarious.
But it's like, did it have to be like that, though? I don't know that it had to be like that to make sense or to work. Okay, I get it. It's fan service. Yes. It's a lot of fan service.
It's a lot of fan service.
It's a serious ton of fan service. Okay.
At the hospital, Sam is attacked by Ghostface and tells Tara that she has been dealing with hallucinations of Billy Loomis, who Sam learned as a teenager was her this is the most ridiculous part of the movie. It was her biological father.
Okay, spoilers for whatever the last movie in the new Star Wars trilogy is. But
it's been out for a while,
this
guys.
This felt exactly like when Rey found out that she was Palpatine's grandfather. And I was like, why? He died. Who fucked him? He literally passed away. He's literally being held alive on a system of fucking tubes.
No, he fucked her before he died. While he was with Sydney.
I know this guy did. But in the Star Wars movie.
Oh, yes.
Palpatine's being held alive on a series. Who fucked him?
Can you imagine?
And in this, it's like, okay, Billy Loomis was what? He was like 16, 17 in the first movie. Okay, so 16 or 17, being with Sydney, he was either cheating on Sydney or we have to assume that
I would say he's cheating on
Sydney. He must have been cheating on her, because otherwise we have to assume
that he was trying to kill her.
As a 14-year-old, he fathered a child who, I mean, we could probably do the math, because let's see, it's been 25 years since Billy Loomis was caught. He had been in a relationship with her for 2 years after at the point of being caught.
Yes. So he would have had to cheat on her.
And Sam is what? She's
in early 20s.
Early 20s. So that means he was probably 15 when he fathered this child. That's what we're to believe. That 15-year-old Billy Loomis had a kid while doing this murder plot, and no one brought it up. No one told Sydney. It never got in the way of his thing. Okay.
It's not important, Allison. And it doesn't serve the fans.
Yeah, clearly, that's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? It's the same problem with the Palpatine thing. It's like, but well, she couldn't just be on her own. And you're like, why?
Why? Isn't it like, oh, anyone can be a Jedi?
Why does that, wasn't it? But apparently no.
Apparently not. Anyway.
I don't know.
She's having hallucinations of Billy Loomis, who she learned as a teenager was her biological father. Sam's true parentage resulted in their parents' separation and is why Sam became estranged from Tara. Sam and Richie visit Dewey Riley. He's my favorite.
I do like Dewey.
David Arquette gives a great performance, I would argue.
For the 20 minutes he's in the movie?
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I think that he's the best out of the three returning.
And they're just like barely in it.
Well, yeah, it's true. But the women have no personality. Like, less personality than they have had, than I they think. Had, like... They have a... Yeah, I think that he's the most...
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah, he's good. I like David Arquette. He's also a wrestler and a clown. Did you know that?
Oh, actors.
I know. They're very interesting actors. They visit Dewey Riley, who is divorced from Gail Weathers. I like how he's watching her.
Yeah, it was pretty depressing.
It was pretty depressing.
Dewey's pretty depressing in this movie.
They ask for his help in stopping the killer, and he contacts Gail and Sydney Prescott, warning them about the return of Ghostface.
My favorite thing he does is he texts them and says, "Don't come here. Ghostface is back." And you're like, and you thought that would work. Why?
Why?
Maybe you and Gail should have been divorced, because you clearly don't know her at all. Even I know Gail Weathers better than that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Warning them about the return of Ghostface, Dewey joins them at Mindy and Chad's home and is reunited with the twins' mother, Martha, Randy Meeks' sister. I also love how they have an enormous shrine to Randy in the family movie lounge.
Good.
I would. Randy's amazing.
Randy is still the person I'm the most mad about that dying
they died
in the whole
I'm still
franchise.
Pissed. Like, I'm still...
How fucking dare.
He died in the second movie, and I'm still mad about it.
How fucking dare you kill Randy?
He's amazing. He's a great character.
He is the best character in the entire franchise,
oh,
in my opinion.
I think so,
and
too.
And he's only in 2 movies.
He's only in 2 movies, but he shines.
He shines like a star.
Like a star.
Like a sun.
Wow. Jamie Kennedy. I was actually watching As Good As It Gets, which is a wild movie. It was on that like poster that Michaela gave me where you scratch it off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insane. And he, Jamie Kennedy, and Skeet Ulrich, who plays Billy were both in it as junkies.
Huh. I was like, they're good at that.
Yeah, I was like, they were. They were really, they had like the makeup though and stuff. It's very funny. Wild. Dewey joins him at Mindy and Chad's home as reunited with the twins. Mother, due to the three attacks having targeted people related to the original killer, Sam is accused of being the killer. So weird. Ghostface then murders Wes and his mother, Sheriff Judy Hicks. This is a good scene. I like when Judy dies.
Ugh. I liked it too. I hate Judy.
Yeah.
Bye, Judy. Sad about her son.
Yeah. At their home. Yeah, he was nice.
Yeah.
There, Dewey reunites with Gail, who has arrived in town to cover the story. At the hospital, Tara and Richie are attacked by Ghostface but are saved by Dewey and Sam. Dewey is killed when he attempts to kill Ghostface. Yeah. He gets, like, gutted.
And it's so... It's so... It was a letdown of a death. Yeah. I'll just say it. It was... You're gonna have this guy who's been one of your main characters since the original movie.
Yeah.
And he's had some pretty badass fight scenes.
And he has, like, so many injuries.
He's had some crazy-ass shit happening.
He's been in the hospital, like, every movie.
And then this... He went out so fast. I felt like it barely... Like, it was, like...
Not ceremonious at all. Yeah.
I was like, oh, this could have been the Drew Barrymore death.
That's
if
true.
If it had happened earlier.
That's true.
That would have been interesting.
What if that had kicked off the movie?
That would have been crazy.
That
would
have been insane.
That would have been like a strap-in, folks.
Strap-in, folks. Yeah, so true. Sydney arrives in town after learning of Dewey's death and meets both Gail and Sam at the hospital. Something I will say, and I do think that to a certain degree, this film may be doing this as a satire move, as Sydney being like this cold, like kind of withdrawn person, like the badass woman.
Yeah, but it's because she's like a mom walking her dog when we first see her. She's got like a baby stroller.
Yes. I don't know. Some of that feels a little bit like satirical to me.
I don't know.
Allison doesn't. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
It felt lazy to me, is what it felt to me. I was like, oh, so we were like, we can only afford Sydney for 20 minutes. We don't have a lot of time to give her a lot of character. So just throw her in a fucking leather jacket and they'll get the picture.
They'll get the picture. She's tough.
She's tough. She's done it before.
Also one of my complaints about the new Texas Chainsaw, which I didn't like, by the way. Sydney asks Sam to help stop the killer, but Sam declines. She chooses to leave town with Richie and Tara, but they are forced to stop at Amber's house to retrieve an inhaler for Tara. Sydney and Gail follow them to Amber's house, which is revealed to be Stu's former home, where the original Woodsboro massacre took place.
How do they not fucking know that?
That's dumb.
Oh, you know Billy Loomis is your fucking dad. You live in the fucking town this is now the fifth set of murders that have occurred in the town. Over 25 years, by the way. That's averaging a murder spree every 5 years.
Yeah.
You're unaware of where the house is. I know where the Bonnie and Clyde shootout house happened, okay? And guess what? Bonnie and Clyde were only here for a brief moment of history. That's no one shuts the fuck up about that. So why... How would that house even be on the market? How could anyone be living there? Okay.
Oh my gosh, so fun. As Sam intends to injure Mindy whenever Chad and Mindy are attacked, Amber pulls out a gun and shoots Liv in the head. You're gonna be mad at me. I liked the reveal. I liked the reveal of the killers. I thought it was cool that Dewey called that they were the killers the first time he saw them.
Okay. So it's Amber, right? That's her name?
Amber and...
And that's the annoying girl that I hate.
Yeah. She played Sadie, the Manson girl in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she fucking did.
And then...
Fleeing to the basement, Richie speculates to Sam that Tara is Amber's accomplice. Sam leaves to find Tara and discovers her tied up in a closet. When Gail and Sydney arrive, Amber shoots and injures Gail. Richie then stabs Sam, and yeah, Richie is one of the killers, which I liked that reveal. That's wild. I don't know. It's wild. You're not.
I hate Amber, and I liked Richie, and I liked that he was like, but then it was like, okay, so we're just doing Scream again then. Well, yeah. So it's literally just, the reveal is... The thing that you pointed out 10 minutes into the movie. The thing that happened 10 minutes into the movie, that was the reveal. And, he's a nice boyfriend, just like Billy Loomis, get it? Haha, yeah. Wasn't that cool? Also, it was just like a mix of Scream 1 and Scream 4.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we're movie buffs, but also we didn't want to be too secretive about
it. Too secretive.
So we decided to go with the old original Billy Loomis plan. And you were like, what? Why?
Richie then stabs Sam and reveals himself to be Amber's partner. Richie and Amber take Sam, Sydney, and Gale into the kitchen where they reveal they are fans of the Stab film series who met online. Disappointed in the trajectory taken with the most recent Stab 8, they decided to embark on a killing spree.
That had already happened in this franchise!
Bringing back the original cast to provide new and improved source material for a future requel Stab film and intend to frame Sam as a killer. After Tara fights Amber and Sam attacks Richie, Gale breaks free and shoots Amber, who lands on the stove and is set on fire. Sam is injured but uses Amber's abandoned knife to stab Richie repeatedily before shooting him.
Was she also the one that was set on fire
in
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yes, she was.
That's probably why she fucking got cast.
Yeah.
She's not good.
Amber attempts to attack the group again, but is shot dead by Tara. Tara and the Meeks twins are taken to the hospital, and Sam thanks Sydney and Gale for their help. Gale refuses to write about the new murders and gives the killers notoriety, opting to write a tribute to Dewey instead. Okay, I will say...
Dumbass shit ending.
Yes, but I will say that it's different from Scream 4 in a little factor, in that Emma Roberts is doing it for the victimhood, and these people are doing it for the killerhood.
Yeah, Emma Roberts wants to be a victim. She wants attention.
Yes.
But her partner thought that they were in on it because they wanted to make the movie better.
That's true.
So then they just said, like, that's a good idea. Actually, I like that one. And then also, Gale Winter's not writing about it. Why? Gale, do you think no one else is going to report on this if you tell? Wrong. Oh, yay, Dewey tribute. Okay, what was that all about? Then, okay, here's what I thought was happening for the first third of this movie. You know how in, like, I think it's maybe Scream 3 or 4, where they have multiple fake-out and beginnings?
Yes. Like with Kristen Bell and Brittany Snow.
I thought the actors in this were so bad that for a solid third of the movie, I went, God, at any point, it's going to go Stab 8. And then I don't remember exactly what point it was. I think perhaps it was when they met Dewey that I went like,
oh,
this is not a fake out. This is actually real. I actually legitimately thought that they were just doing a longer fake out beginning. And it was not until Dewey came into the movie that I went, oh, it's real. These are the characters. I thought Tara and Sam were the most unlikable people I've ever seen. And
okay, I will say, I thought Sam was unlikable. I didn't think Tara was as unlikable.
Tara's barely fucking in it. She's true. In the hospital the whole time.
That's true.
I mean, I thought Sam was so incredibly unlikable. No wonder her boyfriend wanted to kill her. And like, I'm sorry, but I was just like, how am I supposed to care? And like, the people that died, like, the reason I care about Dewey and Sydney and Gale is because I've watched them over the courses of these movies.
Yeah.
Like, in the beginning, the first movie, you don't, like, they're endeared to you comically.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Before you care about their death. And honestly, like, the thing that makes you end up caring about Sydney a lot is what Billy does to her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, having sex with her
and then trying to kill her.
And then immediately, like, he takes her virginity and then tries to kill her. And you're like,
what the fuck?
Why? And he was waiting for that.
Yeah, it's like you're, like, on Sydney's side.
And Dewey
and Gale are so funny.
And you care about Dewey and Gale because they're hilarious. And then as the movies go on and you see
their relationship
and how, and you see them become like these different haggard people, and you see how Sydney withdraws and then tries to come out, and then
whenever she becomes a counselor, like on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, you see, like, you have this like connection to them. You've been endeared to them through like comedy, and then you have this connection to them, and so you care about their dramatic moments. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, we were just having probably what I would consider to be the most emotional scenes in the entire Scream franchise.
There's no lead up.
And I have no clue who these people are. I don't, like, the hospital scene at the beginning, when she goes, Sam comes and she visits her sister.
Yes. And it's all the people in the room.
And everyone's, like, crying. And she's sitting there and she's like, I'm so sorry, sis. I'll never leave you again. I was like, I don't fucking care. I don't give a shit about Billy Loomis's fucking kid that I didn't even know existed. It felt like the brother reveal. But at least the brother reveal had a whole movie's worth of lead up.
Yeah.
This guy, I was like, why am I supposed to give a shit about this? I don't care.
That's circling back to Star Wars, by the way.
No.
Oh.
The in the third Scream
movie. Oh, in the third Scream movie. I thought you were talking about Star Wars, about Ben and,
Oh, no. No. Okay. It, to me, that was just like, what? I don't care about these people. And then they never, they weren't funny.
Yeah, it's true.
The only people who were semi-funny were Judy Hicks's son.
Yeah.
And the two twins.
Yeah.
And the two twins are really the only deaths.
I think they're good actors, though.
Yeah. Those are really the only deaths that I cared about.
I've seen them in other stuff, like in minor roles, and I think they're both pretty good actors. I especially like the girl twin.
Yeah, she was good.
She's a good she's in, like, a sitcom that I really, like, love, and she's really good.
Those were probably the only, like, few deaths that I cared about.
And they didn't die.
The twins.
Yeah, they didn't die.
Right.
Yeah. But they we thought they did.
But they almost did.
Yeah.
And then Judy Hicks' son was pretty sad. This had some decent chase scenes. Like, the chase scene in the hospital was very good.
It was spooky.
Although, logistically, it made no sense.
Yeah, that's true.
But, okay. and then, like, I don't know. I don't give a shit about Judy Hicks. I don't care that they killed her. I don't like her. Dewey's death just seems so uneventful to me. I thought all of the main, like, the mains from the previous movie.
Yeah.
I thought they were all reduced down to, like, the most basic, bare parts of themselves.
Absolutely.
I thought Dewey was the only person who had any character development. And his character development happened before the movie even started.
Yeah.
He didn't have any character development during the course of the movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
His character development happened off screen.
Oh, yeah.
And by the time we got to him, we were like, oh, damn, he's depressed, but he's still in love with Gale.
Yeah.
That was, like, what was happening. That was all he was
absolutely
depressed cop who's still in love with Gale.
Which,
and he died as depressed cop who's still in love with Gale.
That's true. Well, I miss, like, the himbo, because that's what he's like. He's the horror himbo.
Well, and I like the idea that it's like they're kind of taking the same route with Dewey that they did with Sydney, which is like these traumatic events like change you
obviously,
as a person,
yeah.
And like, Dewey was a funny cop who, you know, loved justice and, like,
and ice cream.
And ice cream. And then he's turned hard and he has to grow up and, like, all this stuff. And that's sad.
Yeah.
That's an infinitely more interesting story than two sisters who I've never fucking met and don't give a shit about have a bad family life and now they're being hunted for basically the most abstract of reasons.
It's true.
And ultimately, the reason is because in a reboot, that's what would happen.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, why? Who cares? I don't care.
Yeah.
Like almost all of the choices that they made ended up being explained by, like, well, it's a requel. So that's what you have to do in a requel. And
yeah,
you're like, but that doesn't serve the purpose of your franchise or of your story at all. Like, at a certain point, you should almost just not have the leads be a, like, you should just not have the mains be a part of it at all. And you should maybe have a cameo from one of them.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, if you're gonna do that, just don't connect it to the original story.
Yeah.
It is a sequel. It is a direct
sequel to Scream 4.
It's a direct sequel. Like, they can say it's a requel or whatever, but it's not. It's a direct sequel.
Yeah.
And then to just, like, change what they did was bizarre.
Yeah.
I thought Gale was,
she's so funny usually, and she's funny in the way that, like, wow, she's, like, mean.
I thought Gale was completely shrunk down.
I agree. She's usually a huge personality.
And I thought Sydney was the most shrunk down.
Oh, absolutely.
Sydney essentially had literally no personality aside from, I've done this before.
I have a gun.
And leather jacket.
Yeah.
Like,
that's my complaint with the, Texas
Nothing
Chainsaw.
About the original Sydney or Gale or Dewey was present in this movie or visible in this movie at all.
I agree with that.
And the people that they replaced them with weren't even good.
Yeah.
If they had maybe been better, maybe I would have thought different.
The only person they replaced semi-well was Randy, and that's in his niece.
Yeah.
But other than that, and Randy's dead.
But even then, she's a good actress.
Yeah.
That's her brother was good. The character writing on is lazy.
Yeah.
She was just Randy. She literally sat on the couch and did the same fucking monologue that Randy does in the first
one. You don't like that? It's just fan service.
It's all fan service. Every moment of this movie is fan service with no with like tiny bits of new plot that can all just be chalked up to, well, it's a requel, and then nothing creative or new, nothing funny.
No, yeah,
not all of the meta-ness. Okay, like what Scream is good because it's like so meta.
Yeah,
but the meta-ness of like the first one is very tasteful.
Yeah,
and it's a meta to all horror.
Yeah.
Scream 2 is like a meta to the idea of horror sequels.
Yes.
Scream 3 is like
franchises.
It's like franchises meta. Scream 4 is like meta
turning it on its head and being like the final girl is the killer at the end of that.
Yeah, it's not even like meta to Scream because it's not really very meta.
Yeah.
Like Scream 4 isn't all that meta.
Mm-hmm.
Scream 5 is just meta to itself. And it hasn't established, like, they already have the Stab franchise. That's already their meta-ness to their own movie.
Yeah.
You don't need to go further than that. This entire movie felt like a Stab movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Stab movies that they make for the movie to be funny, this is what the whole movie felt like. The whole movie felt like a Stab movie, and not in a good way. In a bad way. In a way of, like, this is serious? This is seriously supposed to be a Scream movie? This feels like something that the writers of Scream write up really fast to be like, ha, Scream, Stab.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it felt like. It felt like, I think Scary Movie did a better job portraying a new plot that was meta to Scream than I think this did.
Anna Faris is so good in that.
I think Scary Movie was an infinitely better film than this film. And not even just in a comedic way.
Just as a film.
And I could not, the whole time, I was just like, who cares? Why do I care? Also, I hate Amber. I'm just gonna say, Amber feels like when boomers try to write Gen Zers.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like it, and I hate her, and
I think you're talking about the purple hair girl?
Yeah, purple hair.
That's girl. Not Amber. That's, 1 second. Amber is the one who was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I believe.
Yes. She's one of the killers.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
about. Oh, that's what you're talking about?
Her? Yeah, she's the purple hair girl in the movie.
No, she's not. What's her name? Where is she? Liv. Her, right?
Hold on. I probably hated both of them, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I think you would have hated both of them, yeah. That would make sense.
Can the internet pull up a photo of Amber for me? Oh, you're right. She didn't have purple hair. But I did not like her.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really hated Amber. Or the other girl.
Yeah, Liv.
Liv. Annoying.
Yeah, I didn't like Liv either. She was annoying. She had, like, no character.
No, her character was, I'm Gen Z. Ha ha ha.
It's true.
Instagram, TikTok. Okay.
Do you have a review for me?
Okay, to be honest, most of the reviews are not great. They're, like, too serious. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, either they're, like, their one-star reviews are talking a lot about how the movie's bad or how they didn't enjoy it. There was one 10-star review that said that they hated the movie, but they ranked it a 10 because they like Scream and they didn't want to bring down the rating.
That's so funny.
But it was like literally two sentences saying that.
Yeah.
So this is a 10 out of 10 review called Solid Entry, More Fun Than 4, Spoiler Free. Scream has always been self-aware, maybe even a little too much at times. But that's part of the fun. I didn't quite know what to expect with new directors taking over, but I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't. I know some have complained about the close-ups, but that didn't bother me. I feel like the directors did a great job honoring Wes Craven while also making it their own. Wes Craven didn't want to make any more Screams, so I guess he didn't do that good of a job honoring him, because he's dead and he didn't want to make any more. The title doesn't bother me. It's just a trend of the times, and I felt even better about it with the requel monologue from our new Randy character. I didn't. How annoying. Requel. It just felt like they took Scream. They just took the exact same plot of Scream. And then they said, but what if it was a requel? And then they wrote that movie and they said, okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
And they said, like, hiring... coming up with a new concept? No, 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 no. That's not what this is about. Okay. I think every other Scream movie, including the third Scream, which I do think is unhinged.
Oh, it's crazy. It's like batshit, but I love it. Parker Posey is a treasure.
I think even the new Screams, or even all the other Screams, they all had something new to add.
Yeah.
They all brought something new to the franchise. They all had their own story to tell. And you know why I think a lot of Friday the 13th and Halloween reboots and, like, the Nightmare on Elm Street reboots, mm-hmm. why some of the ones that suck so hard mm-hmm. is because what are you adding
yeah.
by being a movie? You're not bringing anything new to this table. You're just rehashing shit I've already seen.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to see that, I'd just go watch the movie again. And that's what this is. But with, like, some more... But they said, like, ooh, more diversity, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
This was a lot of fun, and I actually like some of our new characters, even though I didn't think I would. I do think Tara would have made a better main character. I think everyone in the world agrees with that. Sam is so unlikable.
She's really unlikable.
I don't know if it's the acting or the character relatability, but Sam's character wasn't my fave. Also, her motivations are...
Murky at best. They are
paper thin, to be honest. Also, my least favorite thing about this installment is the internal haunting our main character goes through. Oh, yeah, I also hate that. I hate Billy Loomis, but it's the same actor that played Billy Loomis, so he's like 40. And they're just like pretending that he's still 17.
Died when he was 17.
I think it's so weird. I was like, okay, we couldn't have just found some old footage, couldn't have done a little work. Okay.
They did it with Mark Hamill.
Yeah. They've done it with a lot of movies. I feel like at this point, the technology has been tested.
Yes.
Why are you bringing me this? Okay. Okay. Seemed like a cheap way to include an original cast member that they couldn't really bring back. I agree with that.
Yeah, they shouldn't have killed off Randy. Well, that was Wes's choice, I guess, but it's annoying.
No.
Well, no, actually, it was Harvey Weinstein's choice.
No, they're talking about Stu. Billy Loomis.
Oh, gotcha.
They're talking about bringing Billy Loomis back in memory, because they couldn't actually bring him back since he's dead.
Yeah.
They had to bring him back as a ghost, a mind ghost.
Well, she's hallucinating. She's...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well...
Or...
She's on antipsychotics.
Or it's a cheap way to bring back an original cast member who you couldn't really bring back because he's dead in the franchise. Or it's that. Because the antipsychotic thing, you know what that added? Nothing. Didn't add anything. Okay. For some reason, it took me out of the tension. Other than that, this was a solid entry. I much enjoyed the motives of the killer or killers to the motives in Scream 4. They were nearly identical motives. I actually like Emma Roberts' motives better because they make sense.
It's like Casey Anthony.
Yeah, her motives of wanting attention... And being always jealous her whole life that her cousin has always gotten more attention than her,
mm-hmm.
that makes far more sense.
Yeah, that's true.
And wanting to insert yourself into your family's narrative makes far more sense to me than, like, I really like this movie, and they did a bad job before. So yeah. I decided that instead of me growing up and making a movie... I would murder a bunch of people, and then, you know, maybe they can use my source material. And you're like, yeah, that's what they were running out of. That's like if I didn't like the last season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So I myself went to George R.R. Martin's house and, in misery fashion, tortured him until he finished the book.
Well, there's a whole South Park episode where Butters goes to George R.R. Martin's house and begs him to stop putting penises in the show.
And George R. R. Martin's like, I don't make the show. Yeah. I just write those hot, steamy books.
Hot, steamy books.
And
he's also like, why are you describing feasts for 4 pages?
Feasts. Seriously, George R. R. Martin, cut some of that shit and get the book out.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done that for the show. It flowed with the theme of the movie. The kills were much gorier, and to me, this time, much gorier to me this time, and the losses were high, made the stakes... I'm sorry. Made the stakes high again, and that's something I really appreciated. I also did not... I think I told you this when I saw it. I did not appreciate how much gore was in this movie.
Yeah, Alice is not a gore person.
I'm not a gore person, and I feel like...
I like it. I think the appeal, part of the appeal is of Scream is that it's kind of fake looking.
Yeah, and like in, I don't know, to me, like, the amount of blood that's in the previous movies is actually more realistic.
Yeah.
And I like that because it adds like a realism element to like this ridiculous kind of like story. And then for this, it just was like, okay, this is a lot of fake blood.
Yeah, that's true.
A little, maybe perhaps too much. That's a small complaint though. would have appreciated an end credit scene setting up the next installment. Not fucking me. It's something they haven't done before and would have solidified a new direction. Maybe possibly alluding to someone else's involvement that wasn't revealed in the finale. That would make another installment less like, here we go again, and more like, okay, we have unfinished business. Oh well, we'll see what happens. I actually don't think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me that if there is another Scream, the original cast probably won't be in it at all.
Oh, I imagine not at all, yeah.
It seemed to me like they could probably barely get them for this one.
Yeah.
And...
maybe it'll be less requel-y in the next one.
I would almost have preferred a true reboot.
Yeah.
With an all-new cast...
an inclusive cast, yeah.
Yeah, an all-new anything, and not had tried to tie it into the previous world. I also do think at some point it does become a little like, here we go again. It becomes like It the Clown, like, oh, every 5 years, the new set of killers will emerge. And you're like, at least the It Clown thing makes sense. Like,
he's an alien.
He's an alien, and he keeps
a tight schedule.
He has a schedule. Like, these, it's just like
he has to hibernate.
Randomly every 5 years we're getting a new killer? Kind of weird. But it's also not every 5 years. I don't know.
Well, the first three were made within, like, 5 years of each other.
Yeah, because it goes, like...
It Scream 2 was released a year after Scream 1.
Yeah, so I guess, like, it's, like... so, original killer, like, a year or two later, there's a killer. Then, maybe...
3 years later.
3 years later, there's a killer. Then we have, like a...
a longer time.
A longer time, maybe like 5 to 7 year gap. And then there's a killer. And then there's like a 5 year gap. And there's a killer. Killers. Eight killers. There's always two killers.
Well, 2011 was the last movie.
2011. And then, oh, wow. So almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have stayed that way.
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
It's okay. I don't know. I was laughing all through this movie. And... not in a good way. I just kept being like, is this for real? This is not... and I watched all of the Scream movies the day before I went and saw it. And I was just like, the tone of this movie...
yeah, it's very dark.
Not lining up with the tones. Yeah. And not at all even lining up with the direction of the tones.
Yeah.
I thought the fourth one brought it back down to a more grounded reality, whereas the third is definitely the most...
oh, it's insane.
The third, like, is the most, like, silly.
If you want to ride, the third Scream is very fun. And if you don't like horror movies, the third Scream is very
fun. The third Scream is very silly.
Oh, yeah, if you like Parker Posey, it's definitely worth a watch. Because she does, like, some sitcom stuff in that. It's funny.
And the fourth one felt a little bit more grounded.
Yeah. And, I mean, it has a great twist at the end.
Yeah.
And the acting's good.
But then this one was... so serious.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like I felt like they saw the new Halloween.
And we're taking notes.
Yeah. But not in a good way, because I think the original Halloween is dark.
Yeah,
Halloween is scary.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's not a horror comedy at all.
The original Scream is a horror comedy.
Yeah.
And this was like not, or if it was a horror comedy, it was a piss poor attempt at a horror comedy.
What would you give it?
Oh, my God. I don't know. A 3? I don't even know. I don't know. Like, to be honest, it's not ugly. Looks fine. But I just didn't I didn't like the writing.
Yeah.
I thought the characters were very... I thought all of the characters were very flat. I thought that they had unlikable actors for almost on the whole. I thought almost the entire cast was unlikable. There were a few that were, I liked. The twins. I like Richie.
Yeah.
Tara wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I thought they did huge disservices to the original other movies.
Oh, yeah.
At the end when I saw, I knew this wasn't directed by Wes Craven, but I didn't think about it until I saw the director's names.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, no wonder this kind of sucks and isn't funny at all, because it doesn't have Wes Craven on it.
Wes Craven has a really good sense, had a really good sense of humor.
Yeah, Wes Craven is...
Freddy's Dead is so funny.
I think Wes Craven is untouchable.
He's so good.
In that regard. And he is one of the best horror directors out there.
Oh, I mean, of course. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street is, still a classic.
I know.
Scream. The original Scream. A classic.
He made People Under the Stairs, too, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's also amazing.
And Hells Have Eyes.
He's one of the best horror directors of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he make Candyman?
I don't think he did. Let me look at his... filmography. I know
it's ridiculously extensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of the Last House on the Left, the 70s one. Yeah, a lot of exploitation films. People Under the Stairs, Red Eye, Freddy vs. Jason. The Hills Have Eyes, Shocker.
Shocker's great.
What is that? Vampire in Brooklyn. Dracula 2000. Inside Deep Throat. That's interesting. That's cool. Yeah.
So he has an incredibly extensive filmography, and he's so good, and I see why a company would choose these guys to direct this.
Yeah,
because
Ready or Not
is very good, and feels very Scream-esque.
Yeah, it's very funny.
But you know what I think the difference is? That Ready or Not is original.
Yeah, very original.
And Ready or Not brought... what did this do for me? Nothing. I didn't walk away feeling like I had another...
A unique experience.
Yeah, and I feel like Scream fans are so, into Scream. Like, people that love Scream, they love Scream.
Yeah.
Hence the review that gave it a 10 out of 10, even though they hated it. Just because they didn't want to bring Scream's average IMDb rating down.
It's true.
I think that a lot of people, they were kind of just expecting that people would like it because it's Scream and that they would just be able to ride on that name.
Yeah.
And I think that, the reviews, it's got a 69% or something like that. Which is, for a horror movie...
Not terrible.
It's pretty decent. And... Yeah. I don't know. It felt like it was trying to be more of a Halloween reboot. Or, more like the It reboot. Where it's like they're trying to... any Stephen King reboot.
Yeah.
Where they take the original, which was kind of shitty and campy, and they make it really dark. And they make it really scary. And I like that in those movies. Because Stephen King... I think Stephen King has,
especially in the 70s, very campy.
Yeah, and I think, especially Stephen King movies, movies with creatures, movies with, scary, intense scenes.
Mm-hmm.
We have the technology to just do that a lot better now.
Yeah.
And we just do. And I like all of those reboots.
But also a part of me still loves the lightning crash in Children of the Corn.
Oh, I hope they never redo Children of the Corn.
They did.
Oh, no.
And it's terrible. But did you know that it has, six sequels?
I did know that there's a lot of Children of the Corn.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, also, look at this. Watch Children of the Corn where it was filmed. July 9th, Whiting, Ohio.
Ooh.
With special guest director.
How exciting. Whiting, Ohio.
I know.
I'll be taking a trip. But I think they were going in that direction. But for Scream, I get that that's the trend currently. And I get that they're meta and they're commenting on the trend of that. But it just doesn't work for Scream.
Yeah.
Because Scream is funny, and Scream is a commentary on things. And they didn't play this for camp at all.
Yeah, it did feel a little bit too serious to be, making the meta choices that they were making.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, the things they were trying to make funny did not fit with the tone or pacing of the movie at all, because it was like they were filming a serious, scary reboot of Scream, and then not doing, and but then just throwing in meta comments because Scream is meta, and it's like that's all they heard. Mm-hmm. They like missed the comedy element. They miss what makes Scream funny. Yeah. I also think like I was rewatching the first movie, and obviously I know Billy Loomis is the killer in the first
movie. It's so brutal rewatching it knowing he's the killer.
You can see how shitty he is too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the very beginning, he is a piece of shit.
Oh yeah.
Through the whole movie.
I mean, he's trying to pressure Sydney into having sex, like,
and
from the first scene.
And she treats her like shit at school, and his friends treat her like shit. Mm-hmm. Stu treats her like shit. The only reason you end up being so shocked is because he has one kind of scene where he's so nice to her, mm-hmm. and you think that, like, those are his true colors.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, no, he's been a piece of shit
the
whole time.
He's a psychopath, yeah.
He's always barely been able to contain how much he doesn't like her.
Yeah.
In this movie, none of that.
Yeah.
None of that. I felt like Richie was pretty shocking, mm-hmm. a pretty shocking reveal. Because he was so nice.
Oh, yeah, he was so nice and supportive through the whole thing. And it was like, I also like that Dewey called it. Like, Dewey was like, obviously it's the new romantic interest.
Yeah. But then, like, Amber, she was just annoying. I also mm-hmm. don't like that she's, like, in high school and
he's an adult.
An adult. Ooh. They didn't even comment on that. They didn't even comment on it. I just watched them make out and go like, ew. I don't like that at all.
It makes me uncomfortable. I'd give it a 6. I liked a lot of it. There were a lot of parts that fell flat for me, but
there
also
were good chase scenes.
There were good chase scenes.
Is this the one, I can't remember, they're all running together in my head a little bit, the chase scenes. The hospital chase scene was really good. Is this the one where they're in the university and they have the chase scene through the sound booth?
No, that's, no. That
3 or 4?
That's 3.
That is a really good chase
where they do the sound booth, yeah. And it's like,
and
Dewey and Regale.
That's a great one.
I love them.
That's probably my favorite Scream chase.
Oh, it's so good. Honest. I love that one.
That's probably the most intense chase scene for me. The hospital was pretty good. To be honest, though, the hospital one kind of just felt futile a bit because she's like fucking seriously injured.
Yes.
So it felt a little like, okay, the stakes seem pretty low here.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, that's Scream 2022. I hope we voiced your opinions and more.
Or maybe they're screaming at me back and they're like, no!
No, I hate you!
No!
Are we going to get emails and bad reviews because
of
this?
I hope we get bad reviews because of this. Because why are you
I'll stand by
me?
It.
Why are you booing me? I'm right. That's what I think.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.